All right, so we're actually in Parshas Chukas this week. The Zayt Chukas HaToyro, Odom Ki Yomus Bo'ohel. This is the statute of the Torah, a man who dies in a tent. And Rish Lakish says, from here we learn, Ein HaToyro Miskayemes, Elo B'mishem Meimis Es Atzmoy Oleho. The Torah just doesn't stick with somebody who isn't ready to die for it. So therefore it says, Zois HaToyro, this is the Torah, Odom Ki Yomus Bo'ohel. I was thinking, you know, when we received the Torah, after it was over, on the morning of Shavuos, God says to Moshe, tell the Bnei Yisrael, tell them, Yeshuvu ish le'oyel olechem, return to your tent. Va'ato poi amoydi modin, you Moshe, I want you to stay here with me. So the Gemara learns that Moshe Rabbeinu never again was allowed to be with his wife, Yocheved, to be with his wife, Tzipora, because God didn't send him back to his tent. In the Eden, you know, Moshe had said, be ready for 3 days, Tikshu al Isha, everybody has to be celibate for 3 days. So when God said to the Eden, return to your tents, it meant return to your wives, to your physical, sexual lives. Also we find by Noach, it says, Canaan, Cham, sees Noach drunk, rolling around in the tent. So the Gemara says, from here we learn that he tried to, that Canaan tried to castrate his grandfather. Eved Avodim Yeh Canaan. So then he gets cursed. So where did the Gemara learn this from? What's the? Because it says that Noach was rolling around in his tent. So don't read it his tent, read it her tent, whatever. The point is that tent is a metaphor for relationship between man and a woman. So now if we look at this Zois HaToyro Odom Ki Yomus Bo'ohel, this is the Torah Ein HaToyro Miskayemes Ela B'mishem Meimis Es Atzmoy Oleho. Torah only stays with somebody who's ready to die for it, but then it has now a whole new meaning. Because Odom Ki Yomus Bo'ohel, the word oihel refers to relationship with a man and a woman. It refers to that intimacy. So I wanted to connect it with something that we've been learning here in the fourth chapter of Sefer Yetzirah and Mishneh Zayin. And so I wanted to go back and look at the introduction to Mishneh Zayin. So it talks, this Mishnah talks about the letter Gimel, the seven double letters, that the seven horizontal lines on the tree of life. So this particular letter, the letter Gimel, is the pathway right on the top right-hand corner between the sphere of Chochmah at the very top of the right-hand corner and the one below it, which is Chesed. On the right we have Chochmah, on the left we have Bina, and then below it on the right we have Chesed, and below it Gevura, and then below it on the right we have Netzach, and below it on the left we have Hoid. So there are vertical lines between Chochmah and Chesed, between Chesed and Netzach, and on the other side between Bina and Gevura, and Gevura and Hoid. So that pathway on the right-hand side of the top between Chochmah and Chesed is represented by the letter Gimel, which can change to a Gimel, depending whether it has a Dagesh in it. And this is the line that is represented by one of the seven characteristics, the temurot, those that have like substitutions or opposite, life and death, grace and ugliness, and this particular one is chokhma and ivelus, wisdom and stupidity, folly. So how does your chevet, because I associate your chevet with this particular pathway, how does your chevet, the mother of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, how does she represent this particular pathway in the Sefirot? So I want to say like this, that your chevet, she's the one who fixes the pigam in zivug of Zochen Nekeva. You know, the original damage to the zivug of man and woman was done when Adam and Chava separated. After they ate from the tree of knowledge, they separated, and they were separate for 130 years. It says, after 130 years, Vayeda Adam oides Chava ishto, again, once again, he knew his wife, and she gave birth to a son, and they called him Sheth. That's the one that we call in English Seth. He never got into trouble, so most people only think that Adam and Chava had two sons, Cain and Abel, right? Kedi'isa b'sefer bris menucha. So I want to say like this. We learn in the Sefer Bris Menucha, Hasimcha is mokoim kivrisatav. We know among the 42 journeys that the Jewish people made in the wilderness, one of the places they camped was called Kivrus HaTav, which translates as the burial place of desire. Kivrus, like Kaver, Kivrus HaTav. So the Bris Menucha, the Sefer, is a very early Kabbalist. It says that the Baal Shem Tov didn't go anywhere without his copy of the Bris Menucha. So he said, Mishlo Higia. So this, you know what Kivrus HaTav is? What is the burial place of desire, of lust? He says, Simcha. You want to know how to deal with lust? We're talking about the kind of lust which is debilitating, right? How do we cope? He says, Hasimcha, you want to know where this Kivrus HaTav is, this graveyard of desire? It's Simcha. Mishlo higia lemnuchas mokoim Kivrus HaTav. Anybody who's never found this place, he has never found the serenity. Loi ro'o oir v'loi hisik chochmo. Anybody who hasn't found this place where raging lust, desire, longing, whatever you want to call it, if you haven't reached that place of serenity, it's because you haven't got simcha. And anybody who hasn't experienced this resting place called Kivrus HaTav doesn't know what it means to be in the light, and certainly doesn't know what it means to have chokhmah. And I bring the Rambam in the Yad HaChazaka. The Rambam says in Hilchos Yisurei Bia, Gedoyle mikol zois amru, more than anything, the sages of blessed memory, they used to say, Yifne atzmoi machshavtei ledivrei Torah. A person should guide his thoughts towards Torah. V'yarchiv da'atei b'chochma, and a person should try and acquire wisdom, breadth of mind. She'ein machshavas aroyus misgaberes ela belev ponim min hachochma. Because lewdness, lewd thoughts, improper thoughts, whatever the English euphemism is, they can only take root in a heart that doesn't have chochma. U'b'chochma hu oimer, and the Rambam brings a pasuk, a verse from from Proverbs. So the pasuk says, "Eila sahuvim v'yales chein," which means a loving doe and a graceful deer. "Dadeho yiravucho b'chol eis," her breasts will satisfy you all the time. "Ba'ahavoso tishge tomid," and in her love you should be always intoxicated. So the Chachamim say this is the Torah. The Torah is like a mother's breasts, you know, so long as the child keeps on nursing, keeps on sucking, then the breasts just keep on making fresh milk. So it's not like they empty out like a bottle and then they're dry, right? So long as the baby keeps on suckling, then the mother's body just keeps on producing. So that's how the Torah is. That so long as you keep on learning the Torah and you keep on coming back to it again and again, it doesn't matter how many times you come back to it. It just this is from the Torah. So the idea of Chochmah, Isa the Medrash Tanchuma, I want to say it like this. We learn in the Medrash. The Medrash says, Eile Pekudei HaMishkan, and it talks about Nechoshes HaTanufa, the bronze that was used to make the copper lava, you know, the kiyor, the kanoi, the kohanim used to wash their hands and feet before they did any of the service in the temple from this great bronze or copper lava. And it was called, the copper was called Nechoshes HaTanufa. So the Medrash says like this, Nechoshes HaTanufa, why is it called Nechoshes HaTanufa? He says, the Medrash Tanchuma says, that really, what does the word tanufa mean? It's like the word brides, nechoshes hakalas, because in Greece, in Greek, they call brides nymphi. I think the English word nymph, N-Y-M-P-H. So the word tanufa, the Medrash says, is cognate with the Greek word nymph. So then this nechoshes, this copper, it's really, the Torah is telling us, this is the copper of the nymphs. So, how does this copper get the name, the nymph, the copper of the nymph? The Medrash says, B'shosho Yisroel ba'avoydus perach b'mitzrayim, when the Yidden, when they were doing this terrible hard work in Egypt. Goza aleim parish liyu yishenim b'boteim. So Pharaoh made a decree that they should not be allowed to sleep in their own homes, shelayu mishamshim mitoseihem, so that they shouldn't be able to have sexual relationships with their husbands and wives. So that was one way of preventing the population explosion that was occurring there among the Jewish people, of which the Egyptians were so afraid and horrified. Omer Reb Shimon bar Chalafta, Mahoyu benois Yisrael oisois. So what did the daughters of Israel do in that predicament when their husbands were not allowed to come home at night? Yoridois lishoiv mayim min hayor. So the first thing they did is they went down to the river Nile to get some water. HaKadosh Baruch Hu yamazmin hem dogim kitanim betoich kadehem, and God made schools of tiny fish swim into their urns. V'hein moichrois u'mevashlois mehen. So the Jewish women, when they pulled their water urns out of the river, they saw they were not only full of water, but inside were swimming these schools of fish. Everybody knows the fish itself is like a whole sexual symbol. But the Medrash says, they sold some of the fish, umevashlois mehen, and some of the fish they actually cooked. Veloikhois mehen yain, and from the money that they got by selling the fish, they bought some wine. So now they're going to the field to take a picnic, a lunch, a packed lunch for their husbands. They've got three ingredients now. They've got water, and they have fish and wine. Baruch es l'soda, and they go to the field, u'ma'achilos es b'neim, and they give as ba'aleim, and they give their husbands to eat. Shenema b'chol avoda b'soda, all that work that they made them do in the field. M'shehoyu oichlim v'shoysin, once the man had eaten and drunk, noitlois hamarois, so the women would take these mirrors used in their compacts for doing their makeup. Umabitois bahem im ba'aleim, and they would look into these mirrors together with their husbands. Zoytoymeres, she says, ani no'em imcho, hey, Moshe, Yanko, Hazko, look, am I not beautiful? Am I more beautiful than you? V'zeh oymes, he says, no, ani no'em imoch. Hi, what are you talking about? Look at me, am I a handsome bloke or what? Umitoich kach, hoyu margilin atzman lidei tava, and by doing this, they would bring themselves to lust. Uporin v'robin, and then they would be making love, and they would be being fruitful and multiplying. Va'kodesh baruch hu poiked on la'alta, and the Rabbeinu Shlom is on medish how the women would give birth immediately. So the Medrash talks about how many they would have. Rabbi Seinu Oymim Yeshmen Yodish Naim Bebasachas. Some rabbis say that they used to have two babies at once. The Yesh Oymim Shisha Bekeres Echad. Some say six at once. Yesh Oymim Shneim also Bekeres Echad. Some say no, the women used to have 12 babies at once. Yesh Oymim Shishim Riboy. And there are those who say that the Yidden, that the women used to have 600,000 babies at once. Each one has his own posuk, his own verse. It says, and the Eden multiplied and they teamed. So that must be two. Those who say that they had six at once, it says, and so on. Each one's got a proof to his thesis about how many. So the one who says 600,000 is because by the fish on the third day, it says Yishritzu Amayim. God said, let the waters teem with fish, right? The Kank Siv Vayishritzu, and here it also says, and they teemed. That's T-E-E-M, right? So just like there was fish, and like here was fish, 600,000. The Medrash goes on and says, and all this, all these millions of children who are being born, from what? From the mirrors. And then the Torah tells us that the land was filled with them, the earth was filled with them. And as the Egyptians are oppressing the Jews, so the Jews are increasing the chen yifroitz, and bursting out. Why? Bezuchus oisan hamaris shehu yumaris lebalim, in merit of those mirrors in which they used to show and mirror their husbands. Margilan oisan lideitava, and they used to bring their husbands to sexual desire. Mitoich haperach, in spite of the hard work, the rigorous labor that they were used to. Ha'emidu kalatzivois, they set up all these hosts of Jewish people, Shenem, as it is written in Exodus 12, on this day, Yotzu kol tzivois Hashem mei eretz Mitzrayim. On this day, all the hosts of God left Egypt. And it's written, Hoytzi Hashem es bnei Yisroel me'eretz Mitzrayim al tzivoisam. God brought all these Jewish people out of Egypt, al tzivoisam, in their hosts. Now the Medrash goes and makes a leap. Kiven shamalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu le Moshe la'azis es ha-mishkan. When God told Moshe to make the tabernacle. Omdu kol Yisroel v'nisnadvu, all the Jews got up to donate something. Mishehevi kesev, some of them brought silver. Mishehevi zohar v'inachoshes, v'avnei shoyim v'avnei miluim, some brought gold or bronze or filling stones or setting stones. Heviu bizrizus hakoyer, they brought everything in a big hurry. And one day Moshe said, let's make it. On the same day, there was already so much, the whole job was done. Amru hanoshim, so the women, they said, Mayish lonu litim b'nidvus hamishkon, what can we give? What do we have that we can donate towards the building of the temple, the tabernacle? Amdu v'heviu es hamarois, they got up and brought the mirrors. And they went to Moshe. Kishero Moshe Oysen Amaris Zo'af Bohen. When Moshe saw those mirrors, he got really angry. Omelam Yisrael, Toilu Makles V'shivru Sheken Shel Elu. He said, take some sticks and break the thighs of these. Hamaris Loma and Tzrichon. Who needs these? Who needs these mirrors? Moshe was very angry that the women would think that God would be pleased with an offering of these mirrors that are used only for vanity and for making themselves beautiful and for all the reasons that, come on. Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, the Midrash says, so God says to Moshe, Ale'elu Atzim Mevaze, these you're going to get all bent out of shape. You're going to make a disgrace out of these mirrors. Hamaris ha'elu hein ha'amidu kol atzivos halolu v'mitzrayim. It's these mirrors that made all these yidelech who are standing in front of you, that they all were born because of these mirrors. Toil mehen, take them from the women. And make a laver, a cup of laver, and a base lakoyanim for the priest. It's from this that the kohanim should take the water with which they sanctify themselves. As it is written, and he made the cup of laver and the cup of base. The marois hatzoivosh hatzovu ba'oisan hashatzovu. With the mirrors of the hosts who gathered. What does it mean? Ba'oisan amaris shehemidu es kol atzivoy se'elu, with those very mirrors with which they established all these hosts. Lefikach ksiv, and therefore it is written, unachoshes hatanufa. It's the copper of the nymphs. So the nymphomania that comes from these mirrors, this is the whole, the Torah calls it the mirrors of the nymphs. Shivim kikar, there were 70 hundredweight. Nechoshet hakalois, of the bronze of the bride. Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu, God says, Bo'ilam azen nisnadvsem lemishkan shuhu miskaper aleichem. Nisnadavtem lemishkan shuhu miskaper aleichem. So in this world, you women have donated something very important to you, to the Mishkan, which atones for you. In the future, I myself am going to, atone for you. And I will love you, and that will be my nedova. Now, it's the nedava that you give the mirrors. But in the future, my love will be the nedava. Shenema, erpa mishuvoysam oyhavim nedava. I will heal them from their backsliding, and I will love them unconditionally. Amru, they said, ein lanu loy mishkan. We don't have a mishkan. Like Migdash, we don't have a temple. Tehele fenechot filas pinu nidvas ha-mishkan, and may our mouth be considered like those donations to the tabernacle. Omar David, Nidvoy Spirit, Seino Hashem, please accept the Nidovois, the gifts of my mouth. So that's the Medrash. You know, I think somebody could write a thesis on this Medrash. There are so many elements in another Medrash, which is a part of it, akin to it, that brings the pasuk from Shir HaShirim that talks about beneath the apple tree and how when the women sat down with their husbands, God made an apple tree grow and blossom. And so each of the couples was in their own private little boudoir, because the apple tree, the branches would be heavy with the blossoms and would come and just arch down over them. And so the shape of holy apples
הנה המדרש הזה רואה לפירוש אורך ונכבד, ולצורכנו דע.
As far as we're concerned, let's just deal with this. Who was it who advised the women to take these mirrors and to go and trick their husbands, so to speak, into sexual desire? This was the etzah, this was the advice that Yocheved gave her sisters. And it came from her chochmah. U'kesheheviu hanoshim lemoshe et amaris hatzoivois. So when the women brought these mirrors to Moshe, well, who was the leader of the women? At that time, the leader of the women was Miriam, Moshe's sister. So she was the one who led the women when they came with their donation of bronze and copper to the tabernacle. So which mirror did Miriam bring? She brought the mirror that her mother gave her. Nu. So that was the mirror into which Amram and Yocheved looked. You know, Amram and Yocheved were divorced. When Amram saw what was happening to the baby boys, that Pharaoh had made a decree that all the boys that are born are going to be thrown into the river, he divorced Yocheved. He said, we're not allowed to bring children into this world. And Miriam said to him, if you marry my mother again, I promise you, you'll give birth to Mashiach. On the basis of Miriam's prophecy, and she was only 6 years old at the time, right? So Yocheved and Amram got remarried. So what was the, you know, Amram was the leader of the generation. When Amram divorced Yocheved, all the men divorced their wives. He said, come on, Yocheved, we can't bring children in the world. So now he was going back and making a new decision on the basis of the prophecy that Miriam gave him. No, so it had to be done in public, right? So Yocheved, when she took the mirror and made the food, the fish, and the wine for Amram, she told all the other women, come on, this is what we have to do, because Miriam, my daughter, the prophet, she said that if we sleep with our husbands, we're going to bring Mashiach. So now Miriam brings this mirror with which Yocheved seduced Amram. So when Moshe Rabbeinu, when he looks into this mirror that Miriam brings him, what does he see? Of course he was icked and squicked. He was like really gross, because he sees his parents' sexual desire. None of us are old enough. I don't care if you're 100 years old. We're not old enough. We're never old enough to see our parents' sexual desire, particularly when you're at the Madrega of Moshe, you know. And I mean, this was the sexual desire that made him, Moshe. He was born from that lovemaking of Yocheved and Amram. So of course, when he looks at the mirror, in Miriam's hand, it's like his stomach turns over. It's like, oh man, no, right? And God says to him, first of all, you should know not everybody who looks at these mirrors can see what you see. They just see mirrors. Or if they see something, they see love, they see connection, you know, they see intimacy, right? But you, Moshe, your eyes, you know, you know, your eyes aren't fleischig, you know, you're looking with other kind of eyes. So, you know, you're excused for seeing what squicks you out, right? But another thing, God says to him, it doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter if the Kohanim or the Kohen Gadol, when he washes his hands and his feet, when he makes Kiddush, Yodayim V'Raglayim, it doesn't matter if he sees all the sexual desire that's there in those mirrors, because then they took the copper, the bronze, and then they cast it, they melted it down. God says, it doesn't matter. It's holy. It's Kedusha. This is the real meaning of Kedusha, right? The real meaning of Kedusha isn't some man sitting alone fighting with his Yetzirah, you know, fighting with his desire. That's not what Kedusha is. The Kedusha is when a man and a woman come together. So, Yocheved, what is it she says to Amram? How do we fix the rupture that is caused by the eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil? And the truth is, I can see that we don't really have time to do this whole Mishnah here, this whole Akdama. Let's just pick on one. What is it that happened? What is it that happened when Adam and Chava were separated? The Gemara says that for 130 years, Adam sat up to his neck in a river. And all the drops of seed, the semen that should have gone to Yocheved to make children, to make babies, to make intimacy, you know, they just flowed away. They were just lost. They were drowned, in essence, in this river that he sat in. You know, after 130 years of masturbating, it's hard to be intimate with your wife. I guess the same thing would be if we were with a woman. You know, if she spends 130 years masturbating, how's she going to get back? What is there that his wife could do now for him that's going to feel like what it's supposed to feel like? That's why the Gemara says, the beginning of chapter 5, it says, Vayeda Adam uid es Chava ishtu. And Adam knew, it doesn't say again. The word again doesn't really, we translate it, and again, Adam knew his wife again, but the word is uid. So the Gemara says, Nitzen loy tava al ta'avosai. He got a new kind of desire. When he was in the Garden of Eden, the only time that he had desire was when he was with his wife. Now, Adam is given a new kind of desire, which even when he's not with his wife, he can feel that desire for her. What's the Gemara telling us? That there's two kinds of sexual desire, right? There's the desire that comes from the body, that comes from the nature of a human being. And then there's another kind of desire that comes from the mind. A person can imagine somebody, you know, beautiful and desirable, and then bring themselves to have desire. If you're listening to this, could you please press *6? Thank you. So, up until now, when they were in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Chava were together. So Adam and Chava, they needed each other like A man and a woman are supposed to need each other. Now, Adam and Chava have spent 130 years being sexual without being with each other. So now they can't be with each other anymore. So from heaven, God gives them a new kind of sexuality, which even if they're not together, they can bring themselves to have sexual desire simply by what's going on inside their head. You know, that is the true fall from the Garden of Eden, you know? What it means, a person can objectify another person. That's what it really means. Sexual desire that happens inside the head, which is disconnected from a body, that's objectification. That's pornography. So now, Adam becomes capable of getting turned on to pornography. After 130 years, the only way that God can get Adam and Chava back together again is by inventing a new pseudo-sexuality. That's really nothing. It doesn't come from the body. It doesn't come from a healthy body of a man meeting a healthy body from a woman and then coming to his... No, that's not that. That's not the desire at all. It's not desire in the body. It's all happening inside the head. That began a process of the objectification of the other, and, you know, a kind of sexuality of which, you know, our world today is just like so full. And it's not natural. It's, you know, we walk along the street and, you know, we get hit with all these images all the time. And we're stimulated by images, but there's nobody there. Person can sit in front of his computer and it's like he's assaulted by images. There's no person there. That was the beginning of the Yerida, that was the beginning of the Golus, that was the true beginning of the exile. And in fact, the metaphors, there are two main metaphors of the exile that's making bricks heat. You know, the brick, that I think, if you take the clay and then you bake it and it becomes hard as a rock, becomes a brick. That's one sexual metaphor. And the other sexual metaphor is the drowning. The drowning, Nochamol, the drowning. The baby's drowning. And that's another sexual metaphor. And this is, you know, we've got the building of the Tower of Babel, we've got the drowning of the people, everybody in the flood, and then you come down to Egypt, and again, you've got the building of the bricks and the drowning in the Nile. Yocheved is 130 years old when she realizes it's time to fix the 130 years of separation that happened between Adam and Chava. I'm finding it very disturbing that somebody is making a lot of noise there. If you could press star 6. So, yeah. We talk about, in the Me'er Shiloach, we talk about how Mayim, water, represents desire, because the very first desire that we have is the desire for water, we are thirsty. That side of the tree, the right-hand side of the tree, is the side of water. Left side is gevura, is fire. The right side is chokhmah chesed, is water. So Chochmah, the sphere of Chochmah, just to bring it quickly back now to the sphere of Chochmah, I guess we'll have to come back and deal with this some more, maybe mention next week. I said in the beginning, I don't often talk about spheres, because, well, what do I know, right? One of the things that I wanted to say, though, is that the sphere of Chochmah, we call it wisdom, But it's not so simple. It's not in the head. Chachma is not in the head. You know, the Rebbe Rabbinim said, God said to Adam, don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because on the day that you eat from it, Moist Thomas, you'll surely die. Most people think that eating from the tree of knowledge brought death to the world. But it's not really so. It's not that it's a punishment, you know, oh, you did this, so therefore this happened. Rebbe Rabbinim said that Adam was in the Garden of Eden, he was just aware of God. He was aware, everything that he looked at was just amazing. Everything he saw and he was involved with was just mind-blowing. And that included himself. He was also mind-blowing. It's like he was made by God in this garden, and he's got a wife, he's got this Chava with him, and they can eat and do whatever they want to do. And they did. Nowhere in Adam's consciousness was there an awareness of consciousness. Adam had no more consciousness than an animal. All Adam had was Chochmah. You know, it's not really so easy to understand then what it means, Chochmah. Right? But Adam was so caught up in his appreciation and fascination and wonder and simcha at being, that there was no part of his mind that could be aware of his awareness. Adam HaRishon was not human in the sense that you and I are human. There was no part of him that stood outside of him and said, hey Adam, you realize you're conscious, don't you? Adam didn't have that. And you know something? We're never again going to have Adam's consciousness or unconsciousness until we die and we go back to where we came from. Because now, you know, we're inside a brain which has all kinds of, you know, shells, awareness of awareness and awareness of unawareness and unconscious and subconscious. Ego and superego, Adam HaRishon didn't have it. All he was aware of was God. Everything that he saw was God. All he could see was the Chochmah. That's what it means, real Chochmah, right? That Chochmah is not in the head. What we think of as Chochmah is like a very, very poor imitation. A shadow of a shadow of the Chochmah that Adam had before he ate from the tree of knowledge. The Rebbe Rabbunim says it's not a punishment that we die. It's the fixing. You can't fix, you can't ever get back to that innocent awareness until you get rid of all those layers, the onion layers of consciousness which came to us as a result of eating of the tree of knowledge, where we became aware on the one hand of God's wisdom, everything we're seeing, and on the other hand, we became aware of, oh, interesting, yeah, oh, that's interesting, I wonder how I'm, what do I think of that, right? I wonder how I look. I wonder how I look. Imagine a lion thinking, oh, I wonder how I look. So you have it, knows that the fixing of the eating of the tree of knowledge, good and evil, and the splitting, and the, it's like, you want to know how I look? You want to know how you look? Maybe we need to fix the way that we look. You know, one part of the problem is that you look at me, you look at her, You look at me, even when you're not looking at me, you're thinking of, what are you thinking of? How are you objectifying me? How do you objectify yourself? We're not really going to fix that until we fix the way that we look. And so Yocheved says to her friends, we need to take these marois, we need to take these mirrors, and we need to teach our husbands how to look at us together. Amram and Yocheved are looking in the mirror, and Yocheved says, Amram, you can't just see me, and you can't just see you. You have to get past. There's something you need to see. There's some mirroring that is happening, that there's something gone wrong in the way you think of me and think of you. And the secret is only going to happen when you can synthesize or reabsorb some of those disparate images and melt the split so that they come back together as one congruous whole. And part of this process was these mirrors into which Amram and Yocheved were looking. And they saw each other in a way that, in a sense, blurred everything that they had thought previously. And then Amram and Yocheved were able to relate to one another in a way that took them back to the Garden of Eden. It's not Amram thinking to herself, how am I doing, you know? And it's not Yocheved thinking to herself, oi, how do I look, you know? That they were able to get past that. And so Moshiach is born, Moshe Rabbeinu is born. But, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu, even 80 years later, wasn't ready to see the sexual desire that was there between Amram and Yocheved. And so when he looked at those mirrors, he just couldn't bear it. All right, I think we'll stop here for this week.